American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it is a good day! This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the internet for Monday, July 2nd, 2007. And that's right, you're listening to Newsreel, the Wall Global Sit Rep on car political technology trends and tyranny for your headspace and timing. Rand Media is taking a stand for free speech today, and just by listening and distributing this program, you are too. You can follow along with all of these news stories and check my facts by going to my live journal, and you can get there by going to Sean_Kennedy.livejournal.com. This would be a free podcast that can be heard on Rant Radio, SRN 176 Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, WNY Media Networks, KJAG Radio, Pure Rock Radio, Osprey Radio, Extreme Radio Tampa, Jeeper One Radio, and Risk Radio. And apparently as well, actually, that list may be slightly out of date, so it seems that there's, you know, when I got all flaky and decided that maybe I want to try to have a life for once in a while, I didn't get some of those stations stopped carrying the broadcast, so some people may or may not be aware that I'm back on the air, which, you know, I can understand that if you've been, you know, being reliable and all of a sudden you stop being reliable. Eventually, people get, you know, kind of like bummed out, so they're going to punish you by taking your stuff off the air. But if you do good work, the reward for good work is always what? More work. So if you know of any internet radio stations that may or may not be interested in listening to yours truly on the air, give them a listen or give them a message, give them an email, give them a contact of some type and say, hey, Sean's back on the air. Maybe you might want to carry them. And it's true. It's true. I mean, the show is a pretty darn good show, and it's free as in beer. So why not? Let's get into some feedback straight off the top. Hey, Sean, just want to say I love the awesome work you and Sim have been doing with Newsreel and Patrolling. I'll be at DEF CON this year. Woohoo! DEF CON, good for all. And I look forward to saying hi in person when I see you there. DEF CON is going to be a riot. I'm really looking forward to DEF CON. I'm looking forward to meeting a bunch of WOGs at DEF CON. I want to try to make this a regular thing. Every year, I want to start going to DEF CON. And we're going to use that because, I mean, when you think about it, trips to Vegas, I'm not a big fan of Vegas itself. Like, the whole gambling thing. I like Vegas more than I like Reno. But, you know, sometimes, I mean, it seems kind of like there's some brutal stuff that goes on in Vegas. But it's a good location. The new story is based in Vegas. New After Now stuff is going to be all based in Vegas, which will be good. But anyway, so if you want to go to Vegas, hook up with me. I'll be at DEF CON, wandering around. We're doing the goon stuff this year. We're in charge of setting up all the audiovisual at DEF CON, apparently, or audio networking or something like that. I don't really know. I don't do that. I'm a dancing monkey. Of course, I'm getting some tech skills. I had some people ask me some questions about, you know, I heard you're back in the tech industry. What are you doing? Well, I was brought in as a data center technician a while back, and they seemed to think I was pretty sharp and on the ball, so they made me a network analyst. So now that's what I'm doing. And, wow, let me tell you, drinking from the fire hose, you know, I got to try to get a lot of information in my head really quick, and it's pretty intense. And I'm here to tell you, I've had a lot of emails from people over the years. I've had a lot of emails from different people saying, hey, man, if you ever need anything, give me a call. If you ever need anything, message me. And I don't often do it. Big nods to Garrett Mann in Poland, by the way. Garrett Mann, hey, man, you're all right. You know, I appreciate the offer very much. Maybe I'll take you up on it sometime. But in all honesty, you know, all the offers that people do make to me, I mean, it's you have to be kind of careful because I'm really against exploiting fans. I don't like doing it. I mean, there's like, you know, there's a few donators who have subscribed to the program who basically keep me alive. I appreciate that so much. And if you want to donate to the program, I appreciate that. Please do. Even the one-time donations, everybody kind of pools together. It's amazing. And that's enough. You know, if you can just donate to the program, that is enough. But the fact that people come to me and say, you know, hey, I want to help you out in anything that you're doing because, you know, you're entertaining. You help us out here on the web. You're an amazing human being, blah, 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 blah. I mean, the stuff that people say is unreal. And it's very, very comforting to me. And maybe I'll wind up actually, you know, taking advantage of that. Because let me tell you, there's so much that Server has done for me. I'm here to tell you, I feel very humbled and really quite honored anytime anybody ever listens to this show. So I don't know where I was really going with all this. I guess I'm just trying to say thank you. And, you know, because there is no Server. We are all Server, and that's what it's about. You know, it's about the network, and it's about hooking up together. That's why that Ubuntu thing is neat. You know, have you ever looked at the actual definition of Ubuntu? It's like, I exist because you see me. You know, this is where the nature of Ubuntu is. Well, I mean, that's where they get the name for the Linux program for, but that's sort of a bad translation, an African term. Really tribal, very, very interesting stuff. And that's really what Server's all about, you know. It's that's the strength of the network, the strength of the many, you know, reinforces the power of the one, and so on and so forth. But, you know, anyway, back to the email here. Just wanted to say I love the awesome work you've been doing with Newsreel. I'll be at DEF CON this year. I look forward to saying hi in person if I see you there. Black Ice, the Router Ninja. Well, very cool. And I'm looking forward to seeing as many people as I can. I want to get a group photo together this year at DEF CON. We're going to be doing a recording at DEF CON this year. Okay, so Rant Media is doing a show. I will be doing a Newsreel show at DEF CON this year. So, you know, if you get there and you can't hook up with anybody, look for the Newsreel show. Say, hey, where's the Rant Radio guys? I want to know when the Newsreel show is happening. Ask people about it. And when we do the show, we're going to have a big photo at the end of it where everybody's going to be there. And I want to get everybody's email so we can email the photo. And every year, we'll see how many people we can get. And eventually, you know, we'll take over the con. You know, that's the idea. That's the concept, basically. You know, that's what we're doing. Dear Sean, I don't want to start a flame war or anything, but I'm sure other people have brought this up, but please don't stop writing books. This is because, you know, I was talking the other day about audiobooks, because, you know, there's a lot of people who like the audio media. Really good stuff. And, you know, I can't ignore all the people who are on me about after now. I can't ignore that. I mean, that's kind of a big deal to me that people are so into that stuff. So, you know what? People want more after now. That's what Server wants. That's what Server gets. So, you know, the problem is with season 3 and stuff like that is the well ran dry. I mean, you know, I don't want to give you guys crap. You know, if you guys come to me for nourishment, I'm not going to sit there and serve up shit on a stick and tell you it's quality. I'm not going to do that. I refuse, right? So, but now, you know, with the presentation, with any good story, you have to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. The After Now series didn't have that. I was just sort of randomly, ad hocly throwing out episodes. Each episode was kind of individual. I didn't even know the shit was going to take off. I thought people were going to think, oh, man, you're just a War of the Worlds ripoff. Get out of here. But it did. Everybody loved it. So, you know what? You guys want more of that? I want to deliver unto you a good product, and that is what I will do. Audiobooks are what you want. Audiobooks is what you shall get. But still, the letter goes on to say, still, if you're inspired to go ahead and make a new audiobook, it will probably be awesome. Well, if it's not awesome, I won't make it. Thank you, Nurok. But if you would like to support me, like that, I'm ticking back to the support thing. You can get my new book. You can get it at lulu.com, Lulu Press, I think it is, or something like that. Just you can click on, go to the Live Journal, sean_kennedy.livejournal.com, or you can just type in Scabwings Vabadon in Google, Abaddon, and you will get the phone book. Okay, you will. You can get it from Lulu. You can get it from Rant Media. If you're gonna buy it, don't buy it from Amazon or Chapters or whatever. I mean, unless you want to, you know, go to your bookstore and do it, you can do that. But I think it works out being cheaper if you buy it from Lulu, and I think I see more of the coin for it. So if you can, buy it from Lulu. But if not, hey, what the hell? Read the book, enjoy the book, and hey, if you bring a copy of the book to DEF CON, I will sign it, and cool, all right? So there's another reason to go, I guess. What the hell? Sort yourself out, dear Sean Kennedy TFM. I notice you seem to have an intense loathing of academia. No, this is wrong, especially the liberal arts and professors in general. No, this is not true. Not true. I do not have an intense loathing of academia. I think education is very, very important. What I don't like is the ivory tower. I don't like being a teacher is a sacred thing. Okay, if you are a teacher, it should be the highest paid profession in the world, because you are the person who is in charge of formatting, installing, you know, intelligence into the general populace. This is your job. Now, sometimes, though, people seem to get really wrapped around the axles and, you know, about interpretation and what means what. And they start, you know, getting into this weird, you know, verbal masturbation about what's going on. When we live in a day and age where everybody should be learning and can be learning about things that they can really do, not just, you know, circular logic stuff about philosophy. I mean, like, things you can actually do, build, create in real life. You know, like, you can build, like, real things. Even virtual environments, things like that, that also... I'm a little fuzzy on my virtual environment stuff, but, no, if I give the impression I don't like teachers, that's not the case. I don't... I like teachers. I like professors. I really, really am in a lot of awe of teachers. What I don't like is I don't like the institution... And I don't like, you know, the religion that education has become, as well as a control medium. But anyway, clearing that up. As someone with a master's in English Lit, the most useless degree for a real job anywhere, well, you know, hey, but you enjoyed it, right? And a few semesters spent teaching university composition in classes, I wanted to let you know that we're not all arrogant incompetents out of touch with reality. Yes, you're not. Clearly, because you listen to the show. And if you listen to the show, you cannot be that. But you must also realize that, well, I'm sure that the people in academia would say yes. Unfortunately, Sean, there are, you know, a lot of dopes. And he goes on to say here, God knows there are a lot of crappy teachers at all levels. But most of us got into this line of work because we wanted to make a positive difference in the world, period. I agree. Cops are the same way. Everybody started out wanting to actually, you know, save the world, get the girl. But, you know, sometimes along the way, things get a little bit broken. I've worked in several, quote-unquote, real jobs. Now, I hate that term, real jobs. I mean, if you get paid for it, it's a job. Over the years, admittedly, I'm all of 25, so my size is limited, from heaving boxes in a warehouse to being a tech coordinator for a telecommunications firm. And the people I've met and worked with in academia have been at least as tuned into reality as any of my coworkers in other fields. Well, you know, the gray matter's there. These people are using their minds. So I'd say that they are pound for pound, they're probably more intelligent. Most good professors are well aware of the way the world is going, and in the liberal arts, we're usually a hell of a lot more concerned about getting our students to snap out of their apathetic, consumption-based haze than actually engaging their goddamn brains in some semblance of critical thinking than we are in twittering about moral relativism and censoring their creativity. Again, this does wonders for my conscience, because I'm very happy that this is happening out there in the world. I suspect it may be different at the high school level, but hell, that's why I teach at my local university. And my tendency to use profanity, I don't actively censor myself. I try when I'm teaching, but a few bad words a semester often slip out. Yes, this is because the concept of a bad word strikes me as being especially medieval. This may have already been too long for you to read. Yes, because as we all know, I have the attention span of a goldfish. Oh, look, a castle. Hey, a castle! Holy shit, there's a castle in here! But now that I've ranted on like a freak in defensive teaching, I have an unrelated question, which is why this is in the Sort Yourself Out section of the show. You are forever telling people to consider where they are going and who's coming with them, in that order. How does this mesh with permanent partnerships like marriage? Oh, shit. Is it assumed that only one person at a time will follow this and pull their partner along? Or is it just that people who have goals that may lead to diverging paths shouldn't get involved? I've seen enough literal examples of people having to give up or at least massively postpone their goals to remain with a partner, just in the geographical sense, that has led me to ponder this. Since you, unlike me, are actually married, you seem a good person to ask. Sigh. Well, Sigh, gotta tell you, I would, in my choices, like life, is about choices. Love is a choice. Yes, there is the sweeping, you know, brain neurosis infection, which comes and incorporates you and infects you for 2 years, that, you know, you're all starry-eyed and good stuff. And it's wonderful shit. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big believer in love. I like love. Love's a good thing. Love is all you need. You know, it's fantastic stuff. But you do have to have some degree of, like, logic involved in this. Make good choices. Don't fall in love with, like, you know, a cocaine addict. Don't fall in love with someone who, you know, if you're a homebody and they want to be an airline pilot, like, this is not a really good idea. So make good choices. Yes, you nailed it in one. If people have diverging goals, don't get involved. I mean, that may sound a little cold and critical, but, you know, time to grow up, kids. You know, you have to realize that life is some crazy shit. So you better make sure that don't plan on getting yourself tied down. Get yourself teamed up. That's what marriage is about. Marriage should be about being teamed up, not tied down. If you wind up getting involved with someone and all they're going to do is weigh you down, eventually you'll resent them. Even if you do love them, you will resent them, and this is unfair. It's unfair to you. It's unfair to them, because you're going to start being a real prick about it, and then it's going to carry on. So yeah, it is about, where am I going? Who's coming with me? You have to make your own choices. But once you make the decision to get married, it's no longer just about you. It's about, you know, for me, it's Team Kennedy. You know, what's Team Kennedy doing? And sometimes that gets a little fuzzy. Sometimes, you know, it's hard being married. It is. It's difficult. You know, there's a lot of challenges that come along the way. Sometimes, you know, people change over the years. You don't know which direction you're going. You don't know if, you know, emotional, physical, you know, spiritual needs are being met. There's a lot of complex shit that goes on with marriage. But just like it was in that film Gladiator, you know, when you're standing there in the arena of life and the demons are circling on the outside and they're going to be coming in and you don't, you know, feel like you even know the person next to you, you stand a much better chance of survival if you stick together. And that's the truth. That is the truth. So this is why you need to be, you know, hyper fucking critical. Hypercritical about your partner. Don't just take the first person that comes along. You want to think about this long and hard. And if they don't fit your criteria, don't fucking settle. A lot of people don't get married till they're in their 30s and established. And your wants and needs are going to, you know, pass by. Some people, you know, they don't get married until they're in their 40s. They get themselves established, have a career, blah, 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 make a bunch of money. And then they'll go traveling. They'll go to some, you know, foreign country somewhere, meet some chick in some foreign land who they fall madly in love with. You know, maybe she comes from a culture that's not as... A good example is this Art Bell cat. Art Bell. Everybody knows Art Bell, right? He's the guy who does Coast to Coast AM. So he goes. He's married for a long time, blah, blah, blah. Girl named Ramona, I think her name was. And he's married to this broad, long, long time. And she, you know, after a long marriage, she unfortunately passes on. You know, and not too long after that, you know, Art went out and he married this, like, 20-something-year-old Filipino girl. And he fucking got the gears for it, man. Everybody got on this guy. They're just like, how dare you, blah, 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 blah. This is, you know, boom, the whole world, you know, boot him out and just shit all over him, you know. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, why not? What the fuck? You know, does the chick dig it? How's it work in her culture? Is this cool? Is she happy? I mean, he's having a baby now. The guy, you hear him on the radio. I mean, he's beaming. You know, so I think, what the hell? What the hell, man? You know, life is a very cold, hard, dark place. And if you can find happiness, you should find it. Take the opportunity whenever you can to find a little bit of joy. You should. Because let me tell you, there's no shortage of suffering. There is no shortage of suffering on this planet. But you have to be kind of critical. You have to think about things realistically. Because if you don't, you're setting yourself up for a big chunk of suffering. And it can be hard. It can be hard with the love blinders on, believe me. But, you know, it's important that you, you know, make a few critical decisions and get yourself sorted out. Because if you don't do that, you're going to have some big, big problems. You're setting yourself up for failure. So, yeah, you know what? When you're married, then you are a team and you act as a team and you focus on a team. But you better make sure that when you choose your teammate, this is a person who sees things the way you do. Otherwise, you're setting yourself up for, like, there's nothing... In the land of marriage, I'll give you a piece of advice. Here's a piece of advice that, of all people, my dad told me. Which, he was a strange cat, my dad. I don't talk about my dad much on the air, but he was a weird cat. He was a weird guy. He is a hermit, funny enough. Which is why, you know, I probably have a lot of hermit traits myself. But when I was growing up, he taught me all about Russian literature. Which is, you know, it beats Peter Pan, I guess. And he's given me very, very few pieces of advice. But the advice he's given me, I listened to over the years, because he generally gives it to you straight. He said, there's only two things in life you need to be happy. And this is fucking golden, okay? And anybody you talk to over the age of 50 will back this play. Okay, you want to get the straight goods? You want to get advice on something? Don't rely on some crazy bastard on the internet who screams into a mic once a week. No, no, no. Go to your local old folks' home. Find any dude with some gray matter, ask 5 or 6 senior citizens who are in the old folks' home their opinion of the scenario, and they will give you the straight goods. The straight goods are, there's two things in life you need to be happy. One is a good job, which is kind of funny. If you enjoy what you do, like if you have a job that you enjoy, that's golden, because you spend a lot of time doing it. So if you enjoy your job, that's halfway there. Like that's the meat and potatoes of it. But if you have a job you hate, okay, like you have a job that you do not like, there's only one thing. Now, I'm talking to the guys. I can't give any female advice on this one because I'm not a woman. I can't, you know, I don't know if this is true. So I can only speak for the men out there. But I would assume there's probably pretty similarities between this. So just, you know, change gender bend this as you need be. But anyway, if you don't have a job that you enjoy and it sucks, the only thing that will make that better is the love of a good woman. And that is a fact. However, Because you see, with women, it's like that. If you have a good woman in your life, there's nothing better. But if you have a bad woman in your life, dude, there is nothing worse. So if you have a woman, a good woman, and a job you enjoy, you have won the game, okay? That's it. Game over. Fuck the car. Fuck the house. Fuck everything else, man. If you've got a job you enjoy and the love of a good woman, you have won the game. Start sandbagging now and setting up the sentry guns because you've got it sorted out. And that's the truth. That is the gospel right there. So, you know, hey, that's as I see it, though. As I see it, could be wrong. I could be wrong. I really don't think so. That's the same way I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Creationism might be real. But I don't think it is. Anyway, you know, that's just where I'm at. Into the news. The news. An update. In memory management news, I talked about this before, but I got a little bit more of an update from this. Sent to me by a kid with Jedi powers. It failed to bring Jim Carrey happiness in the award-winning film Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, but scientists have now developed a way to block and even delete unwanted memories from people's brains. Scary shit. Researchers have found they can use drugs to wipe away any single specific memories while leaving other memories intact by injecting an amnesia drug at the right time when a subject was recalling a particular thought. Neuroscientists discovered they could disrupt the way the memory was stored and even make it disappear. This is really weird. The research has, however, sparked concern among parliamentary advisors who insist that new regulations are now needed to control the use of the drugs to prevent them from becoming used by healthy people as a quick fix. But U.S. scientists behind the research insist the amnesia drug could be invaluable to treating patients with psychiatric disorders, such as post-traumatic stress. So when you get this generation of kids back who we've sent over to the desert war, who've got scrambled brains, we'll just wipe out that memories of the war. They know they were there, they don't know they did anything, and maybe they could get their lives back together again. In a new study revealed in the Journal of Psychiatric Research, psychiatrists at McGill University in Montreal and Harvard University in Boston used an amnesia drug to dampen the memories of trauma victims. Professor Karim Nader of McGill University said, "Remember old memories, they become unstored, and then they have to be restored. As the memory is getting restored, we give patients a drug that turns down the emotional part of the memory. It left the conscious part of the memory intact so they could still remember all the details without being overwhelmed by the memory." The research suggests memories can be manipulated because they act as if they're made from glass. Existing in a molten state, they are to be created before turning solid. When the memory is recalled, however, it becomes molten again, slowly being altered before it once more resets. The drug used by scientists thought to disrupt the biochemical pathways that allow the memory to harden after it is recalled. The researchers used the drug is called propranolol. So propranolol. Propranolol. What a fucked up name. Propranolol. Propranolol. A drug normally used to treat hypertension and heart disease patients, but also known to cause memory problems. Interesting. They treated 19 accident or rape victims for 10 days with the drug or with dummy pills. They asked to describe the memories of a traumatic event that happened 10 days earlier. A week later, they found the patients given the drug suffered fewer signs of stress, such as a raised heart rate when recalling their trauma. Before we get on to the next news story, that's a little bit frightening. The whole, wiping out memories thing, I don't know if this is really even true or if this is just sort of something that will make people say, hey, it's okay to, sort of get over there and start, get involved with the war because, hey, why not? I can just wipe out the memories if they don't exist. Scary stuff. I like the military. I think the military is not entirely a bad thing. I think it helps out a lot of people. But right now we're involved in a pretty nasty war and things are getting pretty brutal over there. So it's hard. Maybe this will help people. Maybe not. I know that the Israelis were giving their guys weed for PTSD. I know that's something they were doing and it's been used for a long time. So I'd be a little bit more concerned about whether or not this drug actually will fuck up the rest of your brain. A little concerned about that. Not too crazy about throwing a bunch of really untested, chemicals into my head that are designed to shred my memory. Not the first choice in my particular path, but, whatever. in unregulated media equals pornography news. This was sent to me by Sumerian. Some tourists, amateur photographers, and even would-be filmmakers are hoping to make it big on YouTube could soon be forced to obtain a city permit and a $1 million liability insurance before taking pictures or filming city property, including sidewalks. New rules are being considered in the mayor's office of film, theater, and broadcast, and would require any group of two or more people wanting to use a camera in a single public location for more than a half an hour to get a city permit and insurance. Same requirements would apply to any group. Five or more people plan to use a tripod in a public location for more than 10 minutes, including the time it takes to set up the equipment. Julian Cho, assistant commissioner for the film office, said rules were not intended to apply to families on vacations or amateur filmmakers or photographers. Nevertheless, the New York Civil Liberties Union, this is all happening in New York, by the way, says the proposed rules, as strictly as interpreted, could have that effect. The group, who also warns, the rules set the stage for selective and perhaps discriminatory enforcement by police. So this is why, you know, anyone who's ever seen the patrolling series, I was down in New York there, we were doing some filming, this would become illegal. Wouldn't be able to film in New York anymore. I suppose you should probably get a copy of that now because, well, hey, incidentally, I found out that the Burning Man footage is on Pirate Bay. Got a couple episodes of the Burning Man episodes that I shot down at Burning Man. Yeah, they're on Pirate Bay now. So you can go to Pirate Bay and download those. Yeah, the Burning Man guys didn't like that. You know, I don't know why. The funny thing is if you download them and check them out, I don't really know why they didn't like it. It's not like I was exploiting anyone. I made more of an ass of myself, as I'm prone to do, than I was of anybody else. But they seem to really not like that. I guess maybe it was just a blanket statement. You know, they didn't even watch it. They just don't want guys, you know, filming their event, which I can understand that. I mean, Burning Man's one of those things that I still think people should go. I think they should have a good time there. I think you can learn a lot about yourself and about other people. I think it's a real experience. There's very few experiences like that left. Maybe it's not even the same. I mean, it's been 6 years since I went. So we'll have to see. Mr. Dunn. I missed a paragraph here. These rules will apply to a huge range of casual photography and filming, including tourists taking snapshots and people making short videos for YouTube, said Christopher Dunn, the group's associate legal director. That's the New York Civil Liberties Union guy. Mr. Dunn suggested the city deliberately kept the language vague and that as a result, police would have a broad discretion in enforcing rules. A letter sent to the film office this week, Mr. Dunn has proposed the rules would potentially apply to tourists in places like Times Square, Rockefeller Center, and Ground Zero, where people routinely congregate for more than half an hour and photograph or film. The rule could also apply to people waiting in line to enter the Empire State Building or other tourist attractions. The rules define a single site as anywhere within 100 feet where filming begins. Under the rules, two or more people would not actually have to be filming, but could simply be holding an ordinary camera and talking to each other. The rules are intended to set standards for professional filmmakers and photographers, said Ms. Cho, Assistant Commissioner of the Film Office, but the language of the draft makes no such distinction. While the permitted scheme does not distinguish between commercial and other types of filming, we anticipate that these rules will have minimal, if any, impact on tourists and recreational photographers, including those that use tripods, Ms. Chu said in an email response to questions. Mr. Dunn said that the Civil Liberties Union asked repeatedly for such distinction in negotiation on rules, but that city officials refused, ostensibly to avoid creating loopholes that could be exploited by professional filmmakers and photographers. City officials would not confirm that yesterday, but Mark W. Munchheim, a lawyer with the city's law department, would help draft the rule, said there are few instances, if any, where the casual tourist would be affected. But, you know, this does open the doorway for, you know, selective law enforcement. You know, hey, I don't like this guy, there's a protest, you're breaking the media laws, that's why I arrested the guys with cameras and confiscated their shit. You know, it kind of makes a lot of sense. It opens a doorway for that, to be sure. I mean, you can't really mess with that too much. Also in media news, sent in by Wyandi, the eagerly awaited new album by Prince. Now, this is interesting stuff. Find this, I don't know, I'm not too sure, because Prince is not a stupid guy. Prince is not dumb. But I find this to be pretty interesting shit. Now, as you can imagine, I'm not a screamingly huge Prince fan. I did find the Dave Chappelle thing he did with the whole, you know, come over to my house, we'll have pancakes. I thought that was pretty good. But, you know, I'm not a big Prince fan, but this, I think, is pretty neat. The eagerly awaited new album by Prince being launched as a free CD, free as a beer, with a National Sunday newspaper. So get a paper, Get a free CD, newspaper, in a move which has drawn widespread criticism from music retailers like he's pissing everybody off. The Mail on Sunday revealed yesterday that the 10-track Planet Earth CD will be available with an imminent edition, making it the first place in the world to get an album. Planet Earth will go on sale on July 24th. Now, it's huge, huge promo for this album. It's all about giving music for the masses, and he believes in spreading the music he produces to as many people as possible. Fair ball, same thing I'm doing. Said, well, for, you know, news and other asshattery that I do on the air. Said Mail on Sunday managing director Stephen Myron. The biggest innovation in newspaper promotions in recent times, which it is. I mean, you no doubt that paper is going to sell huge. The eagerly awaited new album by Prince is being launched as a free CD with the National Sunday newspaper in a move, which has drawn widespread criticism. So, I don't know. The way that he's going to do this, music retailers are freaking out about this, as you can imagine. I mean, they're getting really pissed off. And, they're calling it suicide, the stupidest thing you could possibly do. But it seems to me it's not stupid. He's going to get a lot of press for this. His music's going to go everywhere, and it's just all the music pimps who are going to get cut out of the loop. So, I think it's funny. In replicant news. Now, here's something that should be on the cover of CNN, but no one's talking about this shit at all. And this was also sent to me by Wyandi. Scientists could create the first new form of artificial life within months. Now, I generally don't report on stories where it's like they could and could do this, it may mean this, blah, 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 blah. But this one's pretty significant. After a landmark breakthrough, which they turned one bacterium into another bacterium. So they transformed it. In a development that has triggered unease and excitement in equal measure, scientists in the United States took the whole genetic makeup or genome of a bacterial cell and transplanted it into closely related species. This then began to grow and multiply in the lab, turning it into the first species in the process. So they replicated a species. The team carried out the first species transplant, says it plans within months to do the same thing with a synthetic genome made from scratch in the laboratory. If that experiment worked, it would mark the creation of a synthetic life form. Now, that's some heavy shit. The scientists want to create a new kinds of bacterium to make new types of bugs, which could be used as green fuels to replace oil and coal, digest toxic waste, absorb carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. Like, holy shit. But this pioneering research also triggers unease about the limits of science and fears about playing God, as well as raising the specter that this technology could one day be abused to create new generations of bioweapons. Well, it's going to happen, kids, so you better get a handle on it. Producing living cells from synthetic genomes of lab-made DNA would require the ability to move and manipulate whole genomes. To that end, a milestone was passed today by a team led by Craig Venter, the first person to have an entire genetic makeup read, which included the Nobel Prize winner Ham Smith, I'm not too sure what that means. But anyway, Dr. Venter said, then in light of this success, the culmination of a decade's work, he will be attempting the first transplant of a lab-made genome to create the first artificial life within months. Dr. Venture said, we would hope to have the first fuel from synthetic organisms, certainly within the decade, possibly within the next 5 years. Now, this is heavy shit. Breakthrough occurred at the J. Craig Venture Institute in Rockville, Maryland. The team reports today in the Journal of Science. One of its editors called it a landmark of biological engineering. Now, I bet you didn't hear about that. I bet this is the first time you're hearing about this. Unless, of course, you know, you happen to be running in these circles. But this is pretty big news. If this actually works, hey, this could do a lot of really neat shit for us. I'm here to tell you. It's pretty positive. A lot of negative aspects, but people play God every day. People play God. I mean, a kid with a magnifying glass looking at ants in the sun is playing God. So you better get used to the idea that this is what humans do. In Skynet news, Sun Microsystems on Monday revealed a Constellation system, a high-performance computing platform that company executives claim will vault the company back into the top ranks of the supercomputer manufacturers. The linchpin of the system is the switch, the piece of hardware that conducts traffic between the servers and memory and data storage, codename Magnum. The Switch comes with 3,456 ports, a larger than normal number, that frees up data pathways inside the powerful computer. We are looking for a factor of 3 improvement over the current best system and an equal number of nodes, said Andy. I'm not even going to try this guy's last name. Andy B, followed by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Like, what's he got? 3, 6, 9, 10. So Andy B, 10, chief architect and senior vice president of the systems group at Sun. We have been somewhat absent in the supercomputer market in the last few years. The Texas Advanced Computing Center, TAC, the University of Texas, is currently preparing a Constellation system. If TAC can get enough Barcelona chips from Advanced Micro Devices by October 15th, its system will land near the top of the next top 500 supercomputers list, Sun said. The TAC system will provide a peak performance of around 500 teraflops, or 500 trillion operations per second. A fully built Constellation system with contemporary components could hit a peak of 2 petaflops, or 2 quadrillion operations per second in the last 2 quadrillion operations per second. In the last top 500 computers supercomputer list, published in November, IBM's BlueJean topped the list at 280 teraflops. The new list comes out later this week. So computers are getting smarter and smarter, bigger and more badass every single day. Kind of scary, but exciting. Exciting stuff. I mean, I dig that. I dig computers. I dig technology. We should have this going on. You know, it'd suck to not have it. You know, because we need, this is what, like, we're in a lot of trouble as a species. I don't know if you figured this up. I mean, we've been shitting where we eat for long enough that, you know, we're causing a lot of problems here. If we don't get this sorted out, boys and girls, we're going to be done. So, you know, sticking your head in the sand is, even the oil sands, is not going to work. You're going to have to figure out a way to think our way through it. And if we can't think our way through it, we're going to need to make machines that can think our way through it. And that's what this machine's probably going to do. Now, in Generation Psycho news, that's the next generation. Generation Psycho is the one coming up. You heard it here first, guys, on Newsreel. Make sure you tell people about it. Generation Psycho is what I call the new generation that's all being raised by daycare. I was a latchkey kid, and I understand what being a latchkey kid's all about. But the Generation Psycho are all the kids who are raised with no social contact. These are kids who do not have any parents, really. I mean, they have the people who spawned them, and they sleep in the same house, and they're legally responsible for them. They're more like guardians than parents these days. But kids are more and more beginning to feel like they're a commodity, like they're a product. They're something that is unfortunately being shipped around, and they're an inconvenience in the lifestyle of their parents. And because of this, we're breeding a generation of sociopaths and psychopaths, and that's what they're going to be. You think we got problems with our old folks now? You think we treat our seniors badly now? Fucking wait for it. The 30-year-olds of today are going to be paying for all their indiscretions when they are senior citizens, because when Generation Psycho takes over, man, holy cow, we're going to be dealing with a nation of Patrick Batemans. I'm not even kidding you. And here's an example of this, sent in by Slipstream JC. A school in England, you know, now England has got it pretty much sorted out. They're cracking down. Their culture is, they're implementing a lot of technology, a lot of surveillance that a lot of the, North America is going to be following. But they got a school over there bans pupils from hugging. No touching, no hugging, no affection. A school in East London has banned pupils from hugging each other to prevent inappropriate behavior. Apparently, hugging is inappropriate behavior. Since last week, students at Mossport Academy at Hackney have not been allowed to engage in physical contact with classmates. Head teacher Sir Michael Wilshaw said pupils have been asked to be sensible about greeting one another. He said it was to ensure accusations of people touching each other could not be made. He touched me inappropriately. Sir Michael said the most physical contact between pupils is totally innocent, but on occasions it is not. If we don't want staff being drawn into dealing with accusations of inappropriate behavior, we don't want staff being, so you can't hug. Pupils can't hug each other, and they can't hug staff. Nobody can hug. No hugs. He also said the rule could help tackle a potential cases of bullying and intimidation. No hugging. Because bullies always hug me. I hate those hug bullies, you know? Those hug bullies in school that come up and they're like, hey, man, you rule. And they give you a big hug. Yeah, I hate those guys. They come up and they hug you and they tell you you're supportive and everything. John, we don't want that. However, Sir Michael said teachers have been asked to apply a common sense approach to this matter. If pupils are celebrating receiving exam results, yeah, then it obviously is to be expected that pupils will want to congratulate each other. Pupils who flout the rules will be punished by detention. Hey, I got an A! Big hugs for me. Yeah. Scary. Scary. If that actually happens in England, I'm afraid. I am afraid. England's got some interesting stuff going on. I think that's what this Chavs thing actually is. I think this is all part of Generation Psycho. And we're going to see this more and more. And it's kind of frightening because what do you think that if these Chavs can't look after themselves and they can't look after their, you know, just their, themselves in day-to-day life, what are they going to do with the next generation after that? Holy crap. These crazy kids today. In fenced brain news. Now, the brain fence is going up. You know, we tried to do one in Canada here, but this is what's going on. They're going to start this. They're going to start, you know, trying to isolate the minds of people so they can't explore. Sent in to me by Wyandi. In fenced brain news, the FBI is to restrict student freedoms. You probably heard about this. Submitted by Canadian IFP, the U.S. university students will not be able to work late at campus, travel abroad, show interest in their colleagues' works, have friends outside the United States, engage in independent research, or make extra money without prior consent of authorities, according to a set of guidelines given to administrators by the FBI. Holy shit. Federal agents are visiting some of New England's top universities, including MIT, Boston College, and the University of Massachusetts, to warn university heads about the dangers of foreign spies and terrorists stealing sensitive academic research. The FBI is offering to brief faculty, students, and staff what it calls on espionage indicators aimed at identifying foreign agents. I'd like to know what those are. Unexplained affluence, failing to report overseas travel, showing unusual interest in information outside the job scope, keeping unusual work hours, unreported contact with foreign nationals, unreported contact with foreign government, military, or intelligence officials, attempting to gain new access without need to know, and without the need to know, and unexplained absences are all considered potential espionage indicators. Attempting to gain new accesses without the need to know. What kind of an education system is based upon the need to know? What the hell is that? Faculty, staff, and students are encouraged to monitor their colleagues for signs of suspicious behavior and report any concerns to the FBI or the military. Yes, he was asking too many questions. I mean, he's here to learn, but he's asking just too many questions in school. What the fuck? What we're most concerned about is those things that are not classified being developed by MIT. That's what they're most... Let me read that again. Quote, what we're most concerned about are those things that are not classified being developed by MIT. Worcester Polytech Institute or other universities. Warren Bamford, special agent in charge of the FBI's office, told the Boston Herald, it's to make sure these institutions are receiving training for what spies look for. There are hundreds of projects going on that could be useful to a foreign power. Well, dude, if it's not classified, what the fuck? You know, we're worried about the stuff that's not classified. You know, why would you be interested in that? I mean, you know, you need to have a need to know. Hey, are there any books on this? That's not a need to know. You don't have a need to know? You don't need to know. I know you're here to learn, but you're here to learn only what you paid for and what you're licensed to know. What's directly related to your job. My understanding is that the FBI is proposing, what the FBI is proposing is not illegal, but does raise questions about the chilling effects in regard to academia. Chris Ott, communications manager at the ACLU Massachusetts, told the WSWS. What it means about feeling free to pursue information. People on campus will be afraid to ask questions or take on investigations in certain areas, for example, nuclear energy. University administrators have expressed their appreciation of FBI efforts. It was a very nice offer, Robert A. Wagard, vice president of administration and former Rhode Island congressman, told the Boston Herald. We're taking it under consideration. Maybe that's his way of saying, not a fucking chance, which we're hoping, because, I mean, that is just fucking insane. Using the term need to know with academia is retarded. Okay, that's you know, getting back to Buddy in the beginning there, you know, when I have a problem with formal education, that's the problem right there. Bang in one. Related story, pow. And I know, man, that you're looking at that going, I know what you're saying, Sean. It's true. Sick and fucking weird, and there's not much you can do about it. In Decker news, you knew I was going to cover this one. It took a while, but U.S. Customs today got their man. Hugh Raymond Griffiths, a ringleader of the now infamous Wares Group, Drink or Die, was sentenced to 51 months in a U.S. prison. So 4 and what is it, 12, 24, 48, and 3. Yeah, so over 4 years in prison for a Drink or Die. To recap, Griffiths, a 44-year-old British national specializing in cracking software and distributing working versions over the internet for free, in 1999, he stupidly boasted to an online publication that he controlled the world's 20 biggest Wares servers and that he would never be caught. I wonder how many people he helped. You know, I wonder how many people he taught, got them software so they could learn about computers. I wonder how many people he helped educate. In a way, you could say that he's kind of a librarian. That's the way I'd kind of look at this guy. Probably didn't make a lot of money with it. But anyway, they go on here. Talk about Red Rage to a Bull. U.S. Customs set up 3 operations to target group swapping Wares, illegal software, over the internet, most especially Drink or Die, the biggest and most notorious of them all. Inevitably, in 2001, Griffiths was caught, like many other members of Drink or Die. He was sent to the U.S. for trial instead of facing charges in Australia, where he lived when he committed the crimes. Fuck knows why he didn't face crimes and face charges in Australia. That's where he lived. The U.K. took a different view on jurisdiction. In 2005, 2 British members of Drink or Die were sentenced to jail after a court trial in England for their role in distributing Wares. Griffiths spent 3 years in detention in Australia fighting extradition. So he's already been in jail for 3 years. It is unclear if the time already spent in prison will be deducted from his sentence. We suspect not, judging by the extreme lengths by which America prepared to go to stamp out copyright theft. Whether committed with a gun or a keyboard, theft is theft. I would like to actually take a look at the definition of theft. Theft usually implies that I take something from you. That doesn't mean that I, you know, look at your thing and copy it. That's not really theft, said U.S. Attorney Chuck Rosberg, who led the prosecution against Griffiths. If we were being charitable, we put this down to rhetorical excess, thus speechifying of an excitable man. But alas, he probably believes what he is saying, just like the rest of America's copyright ayatollahs. What the fuck does that mean? Just like the rest of America's copyright ayatollahs. What a topsy-turvy world we live in. You know, I think the guy's a hero. I do. A lot of people might disagree with me here, but, he probably helped a lot of guys. I know I've used Wares that Drink or Die's used. I've used them in the past. You know, I can't remember when. I know the name. I think they've been putting out shit since Commodore 64, to be honest with you. But, Drink or Die in jail. Sorry to see another librarian go down. An update in game ed news. Well, it seems that you remember how they were talking about video games being, you know, you're crazy. You play video games, you're crazy. Doctors backed away on Sunday from a controversial proposal to designate video game addiction as a mental disorder akin to alcoholism, saying psychiatrists should study the issue more. No shit. Addiction experts also strongly opposed the idea at a debate in the American Medical Association's annual meeting. They said more study is needed before excessive use of video game online games, a problem that affects 10% of players, could be considered a mental illness. I would just call it a lack of self-control, but that's just me. There's nothing here to suggest this is a complex physiological disease, state akin to alcoholism or other substance abuse disorders, and it doesn't have to get a word addiction attached to it, said Dr. Stuart Gitlow of the American Society of Addiction Medicine at the Mount Sinai School of Medicine in New York. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Let's be really happy about that. So they're revisiting that. Luckily, maybe they won't get it declared a major deal like they did in China. But we will see. We will see. Because in China, they got military camps set up, you know, they send their kids to if they spend too much time on the internet. So maybe we can avoid that here. There's hope. There is hope. In memory news. Now, this is cool. This is cool. Back in March, Samsung announced its 64-gigabyte flash solid-state disk. The 1.8-inch unit promised read speeds of 65 megs per second and write speeds of 45 megs per second. Samsung today revealed that it has started mass production of the new drive. The 64-gigabyte SSD uses 64 8-gigabit single-level cells, flash memory chips, which are built on a 51-nanometer 51 nanometer manufacturing process. We sharply increased interest in SSDs among OEMs worldwide amid growing push to launch a premium SSD-based notebooks, particularly in the ultra-mobile category, said Jim Elliott, Director of Flash Marketing, Samsung Semiconductor Incorporated. Now, for wearables, this is where it's at. Samsung's 64-gigabyte SSD will likely appear at online retailers inside ultra-portable notebooks, and which are UMPCs, within the coming weeks and months. SSDs have the advantage of low power consumption, low weight, durable, silent operation, and high performance. And a special event, and these advantages are expected to allow SSDs to account for 29% of the ultra-portable notebooks and 25% of mainstream notebooks, according to iSupply. They're coming in at a princely sum of $529 per unit, but still, for a solid-state drive, hey, that's not too bad. And sticking with hardware, in illegal tech news sent in by Destin, the San Diego area man has been arrested and charged with 10 felonies related to selling pirated games and modding consoles. You, put down the soldering gun. Frederick Brown was taken into custody earlier this month after his home was raided by the San Diego Computer Technology Crime High-Tech Response Unit, called CATCH. The Computer and Technology Crime High-Tech Response Unit, CATCH. Jesus. And has since been freed after posting bail in the amount of $100,000. In his home, Brown had over 1,000 copies of pirated games, as well as a large number of mod chips. Brown had allegedly built up a thriving business selling counterfeit games and installing mod chips, having advertised his services on Craigslist and other websites. He allegedly sold pirated games from his Vista, California residence as well. That's just stupid. Including both discs and hard drives preloaded with games he would install into customers' Xboxes and Xbox 360s. Entertainment Software Association Senior VP for Intellectual Property Enforcement, Rich Hertz, told Ars Technica. Some of our member companies have been seen as listings on Craigslist. We started making some inquiries on our own last year, and eventually through our investigations accumulated enough evidence to bring it to the attention of the CATCH team. So, what does that mean? That means that they ran their own PIs to get data on this guy, and when they had a complete case, they presented it to the cops, and the cops just swung by and picked him up. Isn't that nice? Something to know. And in illegal advertising news, this just cracks me up because I've seen posters that just, you know, I think should be illegal, but this isn't one of them, by Slipstream JC. Now, if there's anybody in Britain who can get me one of these posters, please do. I don't know what I can't really trade you anything. I got nothing to trade. I got no copies of Bloodstained left, but if anybody over there in the UK can get me one of these posters, I'll tell you, I'll send you a picture of me framing it and I'll put it up on my wall because I think the poster's funny as hell. A poster for a computer game has been strongly criticized by the advertising watchdog after it complains it encourages violence and vandalism. The advert for Burnout Dominator, now this is the one on my live journal, has showed a wrecked sports car, broken glass, and a burning tire under the slogan, Inner Peace Through Outer Violence. It's a funny poster. The Advertising Standards Authority ordered the London Tube poster not to be used after receiving 37 complaints. Games firm Electronic Arts said the poster was obviously for a video game. The advert would not be seen to support actual violence, the company added. Those who complained thought the poster was offensive and likely to incur violence, dangerous driving, or vandalism. You know, the ASA said the slogan combined with images of the car seemed to have crashed at high speed and a burning tire could be seen to condone dangerous driving and antisocial behavior. The authority called the poster irresponsible. Electronic Arts said the advert deliberately did not show the people, so the focus was on the game and not on real life. The company said it would not run the poster again. So if anybody can get me a copy of that poster, send it to Rant Media because I would like a copy of that. I'm going to put that up in my house. It's kind of sad that that sort of a poster is legal. Today's daily hack is Flash Block. Got it from a listener here. Hey, Sean, I really enjoyed your daily tech with the ad blocking extension for Firefox. And was only disappointed by its lack of blocking Flash. Yes, I wanted to share with you Flash Block, another extension that removes the Flash ad, replaces it with a nondescript Flash icon, which you can click and decide whether or not you want to look at it. That was sent in by Manuel O'Kelly. Thank you very much. And that's all I got for you this week. But don't worry, I'll be back next week to make sure you get the news you need to survive. This has been a free podcast brought to you by the Wogs Who Care. And thank you so much. Those of you out there who distribute, and for those of you who donate to the show, hey, you know what? It really does make a difference over here. If you can donate, please do so, even if you can only give a little bit, by going to Rant Media, click on the Donate tab at the top right hot link, or send an envelope to Rant Media Studios, Box 18121, 1215C, 56 Street Delta, BC, Canada, V4M2M4. I got no digital baptisms this week, but if you would like to send me any messages or that poster, you can send it to that address at Rant Media Studios. But if you need to just send me an email, send it to newsreel@rantradio.com. If you like the music in the background, please check out, I don't really have a specific album I'm going to use. I'm just going to use random tunes for now. I'm going to fade out now with a track from, who am I going to use? I think I'm going to use the Ghost of the Shell soundtrack again. This is from, this is called Homestay, and it's the title track from Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex Season 1. I think it's beautiful, and it's sung in Russian and Latin. Very, very cool. So remember, everyone, we'll never defeat the enemy if we're at each other's throats, but that doesn't mean you have to receive permission to do anything. You need to focus on what you want and you need, and don't look for acceptance and compliance, because you may not find it. Have other people see what you're doing, actions, not deeds. So don't waste your efforts on ripping on anybody else. Focus on your own life, and maybe through directional chaos we can actually get somewhere. So until next time, that's what server said. End of line.
Ангелы и демоны кружили надо мной, рассекали терми и млечные пути, не зная, о чем.